Is the personality of the Holy Spirit as important to the believer as the divinity of the Spirit? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host and study guide author. We continue our series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. My conversation partners are again Jen Ogden, associate pastor of the Walla Walla University Church, and Paul Dibdall of the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Now, I want to toss that question to you, but as we were getting ready for this recording, Jen dropped a bombshell.
Yep. Sorry. I do what I can.
It's all right.
All right.
We were trying to figure out, what does personality mean? And I suggested personhood. She said, well, those are different things. So, Jen, this is your chance to set all the problems of the world straight and in order.
Go.
The silence will be deafening. Okay, so here's, for me, this is how I see it, and maybe you can enlighten me even more broadly, and I would appreciate that. I see personality as characteristics of a person, whereas personhood is the being of a person. So how do you parse the two for the Holy Spirit?
And you said?
No, I'm asking you now.
That's not
this
fair.
One's back in your court.
Well, I think the intent of our lesson was to say, you know, we talked about the divinity. Now we're talking more about the human side, the personality.
Characteristics.
You can't really have a person without a personality. So the distinctions you made may be a valid one, but you can't really have a person. I mean, we would say about some people, they have almost no personality. In other words, they're really drab. Mm-hmm. But we would then say they have a drab personality. Mm-hmm. They have a personality of some kind. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we say that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, why is it important not just have a wind, a force, a fire, power, but to have a personal being, one with personality that represents God's presence in our lives? Let me prime the pump just a bit more with an interesting quotation from C.S. Lewis. And he's talking to a sophisticated Britisher in his little book, Letters to Malcolm, a conversation partner. And Malcolm doesn't like this idea of the wrath of God. And he said, it must be better. Why don't we talk about electricity? Because electricity can shock you, but you don't get the disadvantage of the angry face. And Lewis says, Lewis quarrels with him. And he says at the end of this passage on page 96 of Letters to Malcolm, "My dear Malcolm, what do you suppose you have gained by substituting the image of a live wire for that of angered majesty? You have shut us all up in despair, for the angry can forgive, and electricity can't." Now, is forgiveness one of the things that we seek from God most of all? I was just thinking here kind of out loud. Do we want restoration? Do we want forgiveness? What is the need, the desire of our heart when we think of what God can and should do for us, what we desperately need?
You mentioned two good options, I think. Restoration, forgiveness, and I guess forgiveness would be, I would see as a subcategory. Restoration is the larger.
There's a larger one.
Category of which forgiveness would be part of that, it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been here listening and thinking, and maybe I'm headed off in a wrong direction, but the divinity of the Holy Spirit to me seems a significant, that's a significant theological, belief, tenet. But if the question that you asked was, is the personality of the Holy Spirit as important as the divinity? It seems to me like, If we have a divine being or divine Holy Spirit that is capricious, vengeful, hateful, out for our harm, we haven't said very much that would be helpful to the believer. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's divine, but it's a kind of destructive sort of divinity. So I think that to further talk about the personality of the Spirit is extremely important. It's not a minor issue. What is the character of God? Once we've established that God is, then what sort of God is this God that we have talked about? That to me seems crucial here.
Well, you know, this reminds me of conversations that your dad and I had many years ago. Has to do with my experience that I discovered from the Gospel of John, mm-hmm. that Jesus was God. Mm-hmm. I had grown up with a picture of Jesus representing me to the Father. In fact, this was all triggered by a question I had when I was in the seminary. If the Father loves me, why do I need a mediator? Somehow the mental picture of Jesus pleading mm-hmm. his blood to the Father had given me the impression that Jesus was my friend.
And the Father was a little more distant. Yeah.
And if mm-hmm. Jesus argued long enough and hard enough,
he could
then the
convince
Father would,
God, okay.
Let him in the side door. Yeah. Next, you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading John and discovered that Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm-hmm. And I think discovering the same thing of the Spirit
yep.
mm-hmm. is terribly right. important. And that's, you know, John 14:17 where you find that. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, it's also in John 14:17 where you have that very strong personal representative, the advocate, in John 14:17. A couple of verses here from John 15. When the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. So you have the advocate, the comforter, the interplay of pronouns in John 14:17 is just boggling, mind-boggling, because you yeah. can't sort it out.
Yep. Yeah. Jesus' prayer for unity is in the same sort of roughly same part of John, and the oneness where, you know, I and you, you and me, I and the Father, trying to separate it all out.
Yeah. It's kind of the same problem with in Christ. You know, we are in Christ, but Christ is in us. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's for next week, so we'd probably better not transgress on that ground too far. But, you know, Adventism's founding mother, Ellen White, has an interesting comment about the importance of the personality of the Holy Spirit. She says, it was the maker of all things who ordained the wonderful adaptations of means to end of supply to need. It was he who in the material world provided that every desire implanted should be met. It was he who created the human soul with a capacity for knowing and for loving. And he is not in himself such as to leave the demands of the soul unsatisfied. No intangible principle, no impersonal essence or mere abstraction can satisfy the needs and longings of a human being in this life of struggle with sin and sorrow. It is not enough to believe in law and force and things that have no pity and never hear the cry for help. We need to know of an almighty arm that will hold us up, of an infinite friend that pities us. We need to clasp a hand that is warm, to trust in a heart full of tenderness. And even so, God has, in his word, revealed mm-hmm. himself.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, the idea of the longing for mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. just a puff of wind, and this goes
right.
back again to, it needs to be something more than that. See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another passage that I'd like for us to focus on, unless you two have some visions of the night season that you want to share here. Don't let me move on ahead. But the witness of the Spirit in Romans 8:14-16. In Romans 8, the Spirit plays a huge role, and in several verses, the personal role of the Spirit is prominent. Let me just read to you Romans 8:14-16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So, has that verse struck fire with you? You know, we talked earlier about that one where the Spirit intercedes for us. What about this one that says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God?
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea of a partnership with a divine Spirit, mm-hmm. the walking with, the journeying with that verse highlights, that it's not the Spirit pulling me, or me pulling the Spirit, it's him witnessing with me. That means, you know, he's there, present. It's a partnership, and that's mm-hmm. a really beautiful thing. And when you understand the character of God, and you grapple and wrestle with his personality, the lovingness, the embracingness, the mercifulness, the tenderness. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of Truth is what is mm-hmm. journeying with me.
Now, all those characteristics that you name, mm-hmm. can you have those without a face, without a person?
It's a little awkward, isn't it? I think that it makes it more beautiful when it's a present person.
Some people might be able to. It's tough for me without some sort of form.
Yeah. I have a hard time praying without pictures. Yeah. You know, I think that's fairly crucial. But, you know, I did once in class, and I don't know, maybe this would be a good question to ask you two. I asked a class once, what do you visualize when you pray? I got them all over the place, you know, bright light, black hole, God at the switchboard, frantically trying to connect everyone. Mm. One said an old man, a grumpy old man with his arm folded, standing under a tree. Boy, we are so vulnerable in our pictures. But I think to transform a nasty picture, you need a positive one, a people picture. At least for me, it's important. That's why the story mm-hmm. of Jesus is so important. Mm-hmm.
My image is of human-like form, but if you press me, I don't have definitive sorts of features, distinctive features.
What do you see, somehow. Jen, when you pray?
Oh, I'm afraid it might seem a little more, a little far out there. I always visualize God as more of an adventurer with me on a journey. So it's kind of like we're in a motorcycle and a sidecar flying along, and there's wind and there's movement, but there's definitely a director to the ride, and I get to choose if I'm in the sidecar or not. And so it's always kind of, for me, it's, you know, very much a visceral movement prayer, like this is my companion for the journey. But it's I get this big green motorcycle and this guy driving it with these big arms and
helmet.
Helmet on. Good. Yeah. No, it's definitely, we're safety first, right?
But and you have a helmet too?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I got your little visor and, you know, your little headset going on. Mm-hmm. So it feels very, for me, it's very much an active picture of God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's amazing. It's great fun to compare the pictures that we have on any aspect. And we are all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I think, why we have so many different books in the Bible as well, because we have different professions. Well, our time is up. Next week, we will be talking about baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Jen and Paul will be with me again. I want to thank our program engineer, Jared Miller, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.